Well, good morning, church. I'm so glad you guys are here joining us online. As well, you know, we got snowed out. As much as you guys know that, hey, I know there's some people here who they're looking outside and they're like, man, I don't even know how we would even get outside because their driveways and everything's covered. Like, you know, we knew this blizzard was coming. We weren't sure if it was going to snow us out, but here we are. It's snowed out, but we get to be here online, and I'm so glad that you guys are able to join us for that. You know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, Colorado, we get that every once in a while. The snow will come off of the mountains and dump on us, and we're just like, ah, what do we do? But you know what? It's a pretty great thing we live here because we get over 300 days of sun a year, so we're pretty blessed in all of those things. And, you know, we can really see this blizzard as a blessing if we really look at it with the right perspective. You know, I know the kids they're really excited to get out with their sleds and get out there throwing snowballs at each other. They may want to throw a few at me. I'm not really looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to playing with them, and we can play board games and have some hot cocoa and do some fun family things today. I hope that you guys will be able to get some time together like that as a family, and it'll be great. But while we're here, we're going to tell some more stories. That's what we've been doing. We've been getting in our Gather Round series, telling stories, talking about the parables. And over the last few weeks, we've really established this, but it's so important for us to remember it. The Bible says that generation after generation stands in awe of God's work. Each one tells stories of his mighty acts, right? God is doing things. He did amazing things. He's doing amazing things now, and he will continue to do amazing things in the future. And the great part about us right now is we get to receive all the stories from before through the word, and we get to experience God alive right now and share these things in our testimonies for the next generation to take on with them as God continues to work through the next generation. And it's really amazing. One generation proclaims the good works to the next, right? And Jesus, we know that Jesus came down to the earth. He humbled himself, came down to the earth, and he told the people stories so that we would hear of the kingdom of God. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower, and Jesus explained how we needed to understand the parable of the sower so that we would be able to receive the richness and reward from all the other parables, right? We had to have a heart that was soft soil, good soil, that was ready to receive the seed, that would let the roots dig in and really dive deep so that we would produce good fruit, right? We needed that kind of soil, that receptive heart, the attentive heart, ready to hear the word, right? And last week we talked about the lost son, right? One who ran away from God. He ran. And we learned about the heart of the Father, how he yearns for you. He yearns for me. Individually, he yearns for us and loves us. And the amazing thing is that he waits and he hopes, and he's like, come on, come on. And he calls us. And then when we come running to him in repentance, he's so excited to bring us into his arms so that we can find that joy and peace and salvation that we can only find in him. We learn how he embraces us and forgives us and loves us when we have that repentant heart, right? Like the lost son, turning away from his old ways, turning away from the road of sin and ruin, knowing that the only way that he could find joy and peace and salvation was through the Father, right? So exciting. And because of that, we learn about the Father's forgiveness. And see, we learn that man has a heart condition, right? We have all sorts of heart conditions. And God, he wants to heal that through relationship with him. And so today, we're going to talk about another parable from Jesus about another heart condition. Surprise. Another heart condition, the unforgiving heart. And this is a really exciting parable. we're going to find this in Matthew 18. So if you have your Bibles, well, you're at home, so you should have your Bible with you. So if you have your Bible, grab your Bible. We're going to be in Matthew 18, and we're going to start in verse 21. It says this: Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now, I love this because Peter, he's great. He's always willing to jump out with an answer. And I love this one because you could tell that Peter is really, like, he feels like he's being pretty righteous, right? Back in the day, back in their time and culture is all about the eye for an eye. And if you're a really righteous man, you're gonna forgive somebody three times, like super righteous, okay? But Peter, he's like, okay, all right. I got an idea. This is going to be great. And you know, Peter's like ready to receive high fives from the other disciples. Like, yeah, look, I got it. Nailed that one, right? Exciting. He's ready to receive it because he's like, I'm double righteous. God, look, Jesus, I'm thinking seven times I'll forgive him. Like double plus one. Like when a kid like argues with you and they're like, yes, huh, infinity. Right? And Peter's like, yes, huh? Double plus one, right? That's how righteous, that's how much I'm going to forgive, right? And I love this because Jesus surprises them, as Jesus so often does, that he does the things that we just do not expect, right? He said, Jesus answered him and he says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times, or some translations say 70 times seven. What he means is, no, I just forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, just on and on and on and on and on and on. I don't mean seven times. I don't mean 77 times. I mean just on and on and on. Forgiving always, right? And it's beautiful. Then he starts the story. He says this, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and began to beg. He said, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. The same words. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Man, this is such a interesting story Jesus tells us about a debtor, right? He has so much debt. I mean, insane amounts of debt. Really, scholars have kind of concluded that, you know, this is about 20 years worth of wages for him. It's not 20 years that it's going to take him to pay it off, right? Because he still has to use money to pay for food, and he's still got to feed his family, his wife and his children. He's got to be able to provide for them. He's still got to take care of his sheep or any of the livestock that he has. So in reality, it's 20 years of wages, but it would take him his entire life, and he would still never be able to pay it back. That's the kind of debt he's in. And to try and give us a little bit of perspective, you know, scholars, they like numbers, right? So to try and give us a little bit of perspective, the scholars, they think that if it was today's money, about how much it would be like $6 billion. $6 billion. So chump change, right? Are you kidding me? $6 billion. Most of us never even get remotely close to that in our entire lives. $6 billion. But see, it's not about the number exactly. That'll help us put it into perspective what kind of debt this is. It's so insurmountable for most of us. But it's not about the actual amount, but it's the reality that it's a debt we can never pay back. And how similar this is to the forgiveness that we find in the Father, because we're sinful. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only way to pay for that was the sacrifice of the Lamb on the cross, Jesus on the cross, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus that washed the slate clean for us. We couldn't earn it back. We could not pay it back. No matter what we did, we could not pay it back. It's an amazing picture of this. And it's interesting how the debtor, look at him, he's in trouble, right? This is a massive debt. But he'll say anything to get out of it at this point, right? He's about to get sold. His wife and his children are about to get sold into slavery. All of the things that he has, everything in his life is about to be gone, to be sold, to just recoup a little bit, right? And so this debtor finds himself in a really, really sticky situation. And so what does he show? He shows remorse. He shows regret. And he wants to repay everything. He's like, I could do anything. I will change my ways, right? We see this, if you remember, in the parable of the sower. It's kind of like the rocky soil, right? We got the rock, and there's like a little divot in the rock, and there's the soil, and the seed falls in, and we get a little bush coming out, right out, like excited at first. It's gonna work. It's gonna happen. But then the roots don't really get in there, right? Because it's rocky, and then eventually the wind takes it away, right? The debtor, he's kind of like that, excited at first. He's willing to change his ways. I will do anything. I'll pay it back. Just please be patient with me. Willing to change everything. Until he faces his first trial. Until he walks out the doors and he sees somebody else who actually owes him money. And it changes everything. Changes everything. He goes after him. He chokes him. And he says, give me my money. What are you doing? What is happening in this man's heart? What is happening in his mind? He sees somebody else. You know what? You know what? I never would have been in this situation if it weren't for you. If you had just paid me what you owe me, that would have been a little bit of what I could have paid to the king. And then I wouldn't have been in so much debt. I would never have been in this trouble. Oh, there's a problem. There's a problem. See, he didn't allow for this reconciliation with the king to change his heart. It's so silly because scholars, they kind of were talking about how it's like $12,000. Now, $12,000 for some of us is like, whoa, bro, that's like, bro, I really could use my money back. That could do a lot for my family, right? But really, put this in perspective. You stack up $12,000 here on the table, right? And then I stack $6 billion on this table, overflowing. You could never see the $12,000. It's pennies. It's so minute compared to this massive debt, unpayable debt. It's so minute. So the debtor has a heart condition. Jesus tells us he has a heart condition. That's how he ended it, right? He said he didn't forgive him with his heart, right? So he has a heart condition, and this heart condition is the unforgiving heart. The debtor's heart is reminiscent of the rocky soil, like we talked about. Excited at first, but throws it all away, facing his first trial. His heart is not genuinely changed. See, he didn't recognize the grandeur of the forgiveness he received. All the grandeur. He came around to the backside and he looked at his $12,000 and was like, hey, wait a minute. He started blaming him. He started blaming somebody else for the condition of his own heart. He didn't recognize that while he was still in debt, the king, who had no reason to forgive him, none whatsoever, no reason. The king, while the debtor was still in debt, the king showed him great love and mercy anyway. He showed him great love and mercy anyway. And look at how this works out in our salvation. Look at what the Bible says about this. For us as Christians, while we were still sinners, okay, not just Christians, but God sent his son, okay? God sent Christ into the earth to die for us while we were still sinners. Not that we earned it, not that God was like, oh, hey, you know what? They're doing a pretty good job. It's time to send Jesus down. No. While we were still in the throes of our sins, Christ died for us to save us from ourselves. That's the same kind of debt. And you know what? That should change us. That's amazing news. That should change us. Jesus is very clear at the end. He makes sure that we see that the reason that the debtor failed is because he didn't let the forgiveness change and shape his heart. He came out unchanged. So he didn't really accept. He didn't have that soft soil to let the seed get in and let the roots grow in deep and really produce the fruit that he'd received. The forgiveness. Don't we do this all the time? I mean, we really do this all the time. Anybody got children? You got children? You know what I'm talking about. Man, I tell you what, there is no, we have one daughter, okay? We had three boys before that. This girl brought all sorts of emotions and all sorts of other things in our house that we were not ready for after having three boys. And you'll have one boy, usually Liam, because, well, he's like that. Usually Liam will grab, one of her teddies and one of her teddy llamas, and he'll send it down the stairs like it's doing flips, like ninja flips or something. And Sophie Grace will be like, no, my llama, why would you do this? Why? And I'm just like, what? Why are you crying? And she's like, my llama, Liam was messing with my llama. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking at him, and he's like, Dad, I said sorry. I'm like, Sophie Grace, baby. Like, I mean, do you forgive your brother? And she'll say, yeah, I forgive him. And she'll do that face. You know the one. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I forgive you. You know the one I'm talking about. Because we say it outwardly, but on the inside, we're not there. We're not forgiving them. And I'm trying to understand that I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that forgiveness is always easy. Absolutely not. Because sometimes it is hard. The Bible says that if somebody sins against us, we should rebuke them. We should say, whoa, hey. Oh, God, no. And then if they repent, we forgive them right away. But sometimes it's not that easy. It's not that simple. And, well, we still want to get even. I know sometimes you find yourself going, oh, I'll get you, or you'll get yours, or... Think about when you're driving down the road. Sometimes you're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off, and you drive up next to them. When it's two lanes again, you drive up next to them so you can give them that mean look and, you know, that, oh, you know what you did. Oh, you know what you did. Some people gesture. Might be you. Some people gesture, huh? Hey, some people say things like, hey, learn how to drive. And then their kids go, learn how to drive. And then we go, oh, God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me that this is what I'm teaching them. I'm teaching them this anger. I'm teaching them this bitterness. No, Lord, help me. Help me forgive better. See, if we're going to live a life, if we're going to live new life in the forgiveness and love of the Father, our lives bear the fruit of that. And it extends the same kind of fruit, the same kind of love to those around us. All around us. If we don't recognize the great gift of forgiveness and freedom from our sins, we're kind of missing the whole point. We're kind of missing the whole point. The Bible says we live in all kinds of malice if we don't forgive others. Listen to this, Ephesians 4. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. That's what we live in when we don't forgive others. That's what we live in. The bitterness and the anger, the malice. We get stuck there when we don't forgive people. This is as much for your heart when you forgive somebody. It's as much for your heart as for theirs. And listen to this. It said, how do we get rid of this? How do we get out of this bitterness and malice? Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. This forgiveness that God gives, it changes everything. It changes everything. See, we can't change the things that we've done in the past, but God can change your future. You cannot change the things you've done. That's the facts. But God can change your future if you trust Him. He will give you forgiveness freely. It's an amazing promise. And even more, this is really great. Listen to this. You can't change how people have sinned against you, but you can have an impact that transforms the lives of not only them, but also those around you. The power of testimony, the power of redemptive testimony. See, understand that sin is grounds for condemnation and judgment. Totally. The wages of sin is death. We totally deserve that. We totally deserve condemnation. We totally deserve judgment. People who are seeking forgiveness from us, they also deserve that. However, listen, while sin is grounds for condemnation and judgment, it is also opportunity for forgiveness to reign. It is an opportunity for us to show the very nature of the Father who forgives and loves us. When we forgive someone, it glorifies God because we get it. Because we get it. So how can we tell the difference? How can we make sure? How can we test whether we have a forgiving heart versus this unforgiving heart and just saying the words, right? Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus was teaching the disciples, hey, this is how you guys should pray. And he said, and most of you guys know this, I learned this in Catholic church when I was growing up, so I know the King James Version, so forgive me. But our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, you're good, you're glorious, you're amazing, you are all-powerful. I recognize, God, that you are good, right? He gives all glory. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let your will happen here. God, get me out of the way. Let me be a vessel that follows your will, that can help to push the kingdom forward, God. Let me be a part of what you're doing here so that we can make the earth holy as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, here's the really interesting part, because this part is the one that most of us get stuck on, right? God, give us our daily bread. Give us the food we need. Give us the nutrients we need to get through the day. Also, if you could give me a pay raise, that would be great, God. If you could also make my boss quit, God, that would be great. If you could give me a new car, God, if you want to give me a motorcycle, that would be killer. If you want to give me a new house, God, that would be amazing. Gimme, gimme, gimme. This is the part of the prayer that everybody gets stuck in because of our selfish nature. But then here's where it gets really, really interesting. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses just as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay, wait a minute. Wait, God. So you want me to pray that you forgive me the way that I forgive others? Really makes us put things into perspective. Maybe I want to forgive others a little bit better than I do sometimes. Maybe I really want to check that. I want to check my heart. If while I'm praying this prayer, see, understand that the fruit, if we are receiving, if the Father's love is in us, we are going to do this. We're going to do this. We are going to produce fruit of forgiveness. Which means, so if we're praying this, then it's not that scary because we're already doing it. However, if when you pray this, you don't like it or you don't want to pray it with your whole being, perhaps you're holding on to something that you need to let go. If this is a terrifying prospect that we would receive the same kind of mercy that we show, then you should really know that this is not the only place that says this in the Bible. Over and over and over again, we see that we're going to get the same kind of mercies that we show to other people. Whew. But again, the forgiveness we show is a fruit of the forgiveness we have received and allowed to grow deep roots within us. God first loved us, therefore we can love others. Because it's already in us, he gave it to us so that we could forgive others. But there are all these things. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to that when you say this prayer, it scares you? What grudge are you clinging to for lack of faith? Look, do you believe that God can transform sinners or not? Because if you don't, how can you believe that he would transform you, a sinner? Because I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How can you believe that he can transform you, a sinner, and not the person who's sinning against you? And if you do truly believe that and understand that, then that should inform how you forgive the sin you're thinking of right now, the one that's holding you back. But Pastor Zach, look, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how he hurt me. You don't know what she said. You don't know what she did. You don't know how he touched me. You don't know how he hurt me. Listen, I don't. You're right. I don't know how he hurt you, but I do know what Jesus did for you. He came down, humbled himself, loved you to the point, even to the point of dying on the cross for you. He did nothing wrong. Never sinned, not once. And yet took the weight of the sin of the world on himself so that we could be washed clean and come into relationship with him. So no, I don't know what they did to you, but I do know what Jesus did for you. And that should transform us. That should change everything. 100%. So watch yourselves. Listen to this. Luke says this. Watch yourselves. This is Jesus, sorry. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, this isn't right. Rebuke them. This isn't right. And then, if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, Jesus says, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And the apostles, the disciples, they said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. This is hard. Even the disciples were like, God, this is hard. This is hard stuff. These people are sinning against us. They're doing hurtful things to me or to the people I love. They're hurting. This is hard. Give me the faith to give the forgiveness, the trust in you, God, to give that kind of forgiveness. Right now, I want you to hear this. It does not matter what the sin is. It doesn't. It does not matter. Listen to this carefully. The way in which we forgive is not determined by the circumstance of the sin, but rather the bar set by the sacrificial Christ on the cross. I'm going to say that again. It does not matter what the sin is. The way in which we forgive is not determined by the circumstance of the sin, but rather the bar set by the sacrificial Christ on the cross. He hung there on the cross, bleeding. People, the Bible says the people around him reviled him. They egged him on. They hated him. And he hung there on the cross. And what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. The people who hated him. The people who were yelling jeers at him. The people who were throwing things at him. Forgive them. That is the bar that is set for forgiveness. That's the bar. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter what it is, forgive them. Because really, who's at this place? No one's perfect. Only Jesus never sinned and died on the cross for us. Only him. It doesn't matter how much forgiveness you give, it will never be to that level. That is the bar. So forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Jesus died on the cross, not that we would live in that bitterness. He didn't want us to live and stay in bitterness and malice. No, he wanted us to live with a heart of forgiveness, in the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not malice. Not rage, not anger, not bitterness. None of those incarnations. No. It's this kind of life with unity in the Spirit, with a forgiving heart. If you have something that is holding you back right now, don't hold it back anymore. Don't let something that somebody else did, somebody else sin in your life, don't let that hold you back in your relationship with Christ. Don't let it stop you. Keep on running to the Father with arms wide open, ready to receive you. Listen to this, one last passage. Paul says in Romans, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Anyone. Doesn't matter who they are. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Glorifying God when they see you, they see the light of Christ in you. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Do your part. They might not want to come back in repentance. Forgive them anyway. Forgive them so that you have peace there. Dear friends, listen to this one. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Never try to get even. Leave that to God. For it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Now, before you get on your high horse and start going, yeah, that's right. Go get him, God. Get him. He deserves it. He deserves every piece of wrath that you are going to bring down on him. Get him. Before you go there, recognize that malice, that anger. Paul says, wait. Okay. Don't let your heart go that way. God will take care of justice. God is just. Okay. But don't let your heart go that way. Listen, instead, do what the scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good, by forgiving. Conquer it. Never underestimate the power of forgiveness in people's lives. You forgive somebody that has hurt you. It's a surprise. It's like what Jesus did surprised people. They don't expect it. They don't believe they're worthy of it. We know we're not worthy of it. We know we've sinned. We know we're not worthy of forgiveness. And yet when you show forgiveness, they see something else and they go, what? What is this? And the prompting, the Holy Spirit finally has space to work. He starts working in them. And they go, why? I don't understand. Why would they forgive me? This doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? They start feeling that conviction, right? And then when they start feeling that conviction, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can work a new work in their lives. Oh, what if your forgiveness, what if you forgiving them is the exact testimony that they need to come to a saving relationship with Christ? What if your forgiveness is that exact testimony they need? Do not underestimate the power of forgiveness. Never forget the power that forgiveness has to transform the lives of others. And never forget the power that unforgiveness has over you. Live in a heart of forgiveness because you don't want to be in that bitterness. You don't want to be in that malice. And God doesn't want you to be in that either. Let's pray. Father, change our hearts. Soften us. Let us hear your word and receive your word so that we would bear the fruit of forgiveness. Father, I know there are things that people have done to us. But God, we know that we are sinners. We fall short. We didn't deserve your forgiveness, but you gave it freely. You offered it freely. You said, come to me, son. Come to me, daughter. And you worked redemption in our lives. Let us echo that redemption. Let us shine that redemption. Reflect it to the others around us. As they sin against us, Father, Father, we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Make our fruit of forgiveness true. Make our fruit of forgiveness regular all the time. We never, ever, ever want to shine a light that's not yours, God. We don't want to live in this bitterness and heartache. God, you say, cast your cares on me because I care for you. We could cast our burdens to your throne, God, because you will care for us. You will sustain us, is what your word says. Don't let us get bogged down with an unforgiving heart. Change us. Let us pray for our enemies. Let's pray for them and love them even when they don't want to seek redemption. Father, teach us to walk closer in harmony with your heart, day by day, step by step. We love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, online, obviously. We're so glad that you were able to join us. We're all about next steps here at Gateway Church. We want to invite you to take your next step in faith, whether that's starting or connecting or serving or giving. And if you want to give and partner in that way, there's four ways to give. You can do online at the church website. You can do that on the phone with the text to give. You can do that on the app. Guys, I really, really, really...